Well, hello out there, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, this morning, my guest, CEO of Boyd Healthcare Services, Stace Holland. Welcome, Stace.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh.
It's very kind for you to ask me to share a little bit about myself and about the hospital on the air.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Love it. Stace, how long have you been working, or how long have you been joined up with Boyd Health Center?
I started on April the 22nd, so it's coming up on 4 months.
Oh,
still, I'm still pretty new.
Yes, you are. So, tell us a little bit before we get into some details about the future of Boyd Healthcare. Just tell me a little bit about your history.
Okay. Well, I think the future of Boyd is really bright, and the reason I think that is the passion and the love for treating patients. I see that in the eyes and the action of the staff that we have at the hospital. So I'm really excited about being there. As far as me personally, I decided many years ago that I wanted to be involved in healing ministry. And so that was 1988 when I made that decision.
Really?
To join some type of healing ministry program, whether it was through a hospital or some other service.
Well, where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Really?
Old Merle Haggard, good old Okie from Muskogee.
Yeah. So you sing as well?
Well, I did, and I probably shouldn't on the air, you know.
In Muskogee, and then where else? I mean, where'd you go to university at?
I attended Oklahoma Baptist University in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Okay.
The reason I went to the university there, my dad was dean of teacher education, and I was already married, and I had two kids, and I thought, if things get really tough, we could always go to mom and dad's to eat.
There you go. So did you, I know you got a degree, you got your master's degree. Mm-hmm. What are your degrees in?
Well, at OBU, my degree is in business with an emphasis in healthcare.
Okay.
They started an undergrad program for administrative healthcare or healthcare administration. So I went through that track, but the diploma says a degree in business.
Okay. And fresh out of university, what was your first job?
Well, during my time at the university, there was a hospital management company in Oklahoma that had decided to create a rural hospital resident program.
Mm-hmm.
And I was their first hire.
Wow.
And they hired me, and my first job as a resident was Miami, Oklahoma, at Baptist Regional Hospital in Miami, Oklahoma. And if you're not sure where that is, that's pretty much in the northeast corner of Oklahoma, just outside of Joplin, Missouri, off I-44.
Not far.
Not
that far.
It was a three-year program, and the track was to rotate at least 4 weeks in every department of the hospital and learn every job that didn't require a license.
I see. And then you worked there for a few years?
I was there 3 years.
Three years? And then where?
Well, my CEO came to me at that time and said, Stace, your program's up and we're getting ready to bring in another resident. And I have found you a job. And it's in Cleveland, Oklahoma, which is just outside of Tulsa. And you'll be the CEO. And I'll have to tell you, from resident to CEO, I had this little panic. And I asked, you know, he was a wonderful man. And his name was Bob. And I said, Bob, do you think I'm ready for that? And he said, oh, yes, you're ready because you're going to close the hospital for that community.
Oh.
And I looked at him and said, well, why would I want to take a job to close it? And Bob said, because you'll learn a lot of dealing. You'll have a lot of dealings with the state while you're closing this facility. And that will teach you a lot. But the big thing is you'll be able to put CEO behind your name, and that will open doors for you in the future. So my wife and I, we did. We were very excited.
Mm-hmm.
I think really what excited us is my salary as a resident was $28,000. And I was leaving there in 1991. And my first CEO job was going to pay $38,000.
Okay.
So that $10,000, that was like, wow, we can buy a house. And so I did take that job. You know, I can't brag enough on these resident programs.
Okay.
Because I took what I learned from that resident and I just asked questions at this hospital in Cleveland. And we realized that there were opportunities that that hospital could have done. My first city council meeting, I asked the city, could you give us 60 days? Don't close the hospital. Let's see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that was 1991, and here we are in 2024. That hospital is still open.
I'll be darned.
They have done building expansions. They've recruited physicians. They've added services. They're doing OB and surgery.
Wow, wow, that's
and
fantastic.
Really was, yeah. You know, but there's a lot of lessons learned. The first question was, who does our audit and cost report? And what I learned, it was a man that was a great community person and good community figurehead. But he did not specialize in hospital audits and especially in the cost report. So I went to the board, and being new and still not really realizing the politics and how everybody knows everybody and everybody's related in communities of about 2,000 people, I told the board that the man that we were using to do this isn't competent to do it, and he's too old to do it, to find out he was the brother of the board chairman.
Uh-oh.
But that's all right. They tolerated the new, you know, the very young, inexperienced, lack of maturity individual I was. But we moved to a national firm, and that's what transitioned the hospital. We did learn that we had been underpaid by Medicare to the tune of $3 million over the last several years. So we reopened cost reports and CMS, Medicare, then CMS now, reimbursed the hospital that $3 million. And that's what really interjected and got the hospital moving in the right direction.
Sure. So we're going to just go down the road here. Now, what was next on your occupation list?
Well, that was a learning experience. Because of the success of that hospital, I had a really nice article written in the Tulsa newspaper, and a national management company came and asked me if I would go to another hospital. And so they were going to pay $68,000. So you can't, I mean, if you could just imagine the smile and joy on our face. And so we did, but I really, really struggled with working in a national firm, national management company. So I didn't stay there long. But I managed another hospital in Oklahoma until I reached that desire to get my master's degree.
I see. And as we go down the road?
Yeah.
So what next?
Well, thank goodness for my wife, and I've been blessed. We've been married 38 years, and I've been blessed to have a great partner. And I was trying to get my master's degree, and like many people back then, you'd have to drive to the university, and you'd do night classes. And it was about an hour and a half one way to the university that had the MHA program.
Ooh.
And kids were young, and they're in T-ball, and so
right.
I would be dedicated, and I would start that program, and I'd go 4 or 5 weeks, and I'd drop out.
Yep.
And I did that 2 semesters, and it was actually my wife that said, why don't you look for a job that's close to a university, and let's move?
You know what? Women, they are so smart about stuff like that, don't they? We just don't realize, and then all of a sudden they say the most practical things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just wanted to work harder. She wanted to work smarter.
Yes. And you got to love that.
So
sure.
that took us to Texas.
What's your wife's name?
Her name, Carla.
Carla.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do have a couple children, right?
We have 3 children.
Okay. So you were busy with 3 children.
Our daughter, Casey, she's a school teacher in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Okay.
And our son, Chance. Chance does odd and end jobs and really enjoys kind of being the stay-at-home dad.
I see. Then
our youngest, Colton, he manages some physician clinics in Southwest Missouri.
He kind of took after dad.
He did. He did a resident just like I did. And
okay.
He actually thought he wanted to be in the accounting part of hospital work. But but found that his niche was leading small physician clinics. And he's found his joy there.
Hey, if you're just joining us, we have Stace Holland with us, the CEO of Boyd Healthcare Services. Just started, kind of took over the reins in April. So we're talking over things in his life and things in the future. So you were saying you got your master's.
I did.
You got a new job.
I did,
Got where you should be, next to a university. And what town was that? What university?
It was Midwestern State University in Wichita Falls, Texas.
I see.
My wife is from Texas, and she's from West Texas. Now, she was from that great part of Midland, Odessa, that produces all the oil. So we always laugh when oil prices, when gas is $4 a gallon here, and you don't like it, people in Midland, Odessa, and West Texas, we like it.
They love it.
The economy's really good down there when oil's $100 a barrel. But she made me a promise in Oklahoma when we got married not to take her back to the dry desert area of West Texas. And when we went to Wichita Falls, she said, "Stace, we're getting awful close to West Texas."
Yes. Now, so then what happened?
Well, after I received my master's degree, I did join because I was nervous about how far west I'd move my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I joined a hospital management group out of Tyler, Texas. And so we moved to the east, and I managed a hospital in Clarksville, Texas, which is, you know, people probably won't know where Clarksville is, but you might know where Texarkana is.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
And this would, and Clarksville's between Texarkana and Dallas.
I see. From Texas, are you kind of a cowboy?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you?
I mean,
so you ride horses?
We do, as much as we possibly can.
You know, watch rodeos and stuff?
I watch them all the time, and we try to attend as many as we can. Actually, we'll be at a rodeo this weekend.
Really? Have you ever rodeoed?
We've done a lot of play days.
Yeah.
And, but this weekend will be my first time to officially ride in a rodeo. I don't expect to really compete against the young people, but I'm going to do it so I can say I can. I'm only going to do the barrels, and I expect to run the barrels in about 24 seconds, and I think everybody else will probably do it in 14 to 16 seconds. I will come in dead last, but I will be as happy as you can imagine if I just don't fall off.
And you're riding your own horse?
Riding my own horse.
Okay. Did you ever do any bull riding?
You know,
I mean, I've heard, you know, I've always kind of thought about that. That'd be kind of crazy, but you ever did that?
I never saw the point in trying to ride something that weighs 2,000 pounds that wants to hurt you.
Yeah.
But after we had finished a play day, I was approached and there were going to be some bull riding lessons. And I was asked if I wanted to ride, and I said no. And I was coerced to do it. That this bull was really tame, he'll eat out of your hand, but when that cinch tightens up on his flank, he is going to buck. And so I gave in, and I geared up.
Yeah.
And
did you wear a helmet?
I did, and I wore the vest, and you know, I can't even imagine how long 8 seconds is when you're setting on the bull. Because I think I lasted 2 or maybe 3 seconds. But, hey, I did it. I don't ever plan to do it again, but I can say I did it.
One more in the bucket list, right?
One more, that's right.
Oh, shoot. So where are we? How far away are we from present time? Do you have a few more jobs, a few more positions?
I did. from that hospital, I actually, 3 of the hospitals I worked in really were needing a vision and a strategic plan. And I worked with the team to create that plan. And we transitioned those hospitals from struggling financially to being pretty financially solid. That got the attention of a company out of Dallas called Community Hospital Corporation. And I joined Community Hospital Corporation and worked with them on transitioning some other struggling hospitals. So that was really rewarding for me, maybe not so much for the family, but I had the opportunity to work with a hospital in Kentucky. And then from Kentucky, they asked me to go to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So I went to Louisiana and then back to Texas and then to Kansas and then back to Oklahoma. And, you know.
So your expertise has developed into being able to take down and out situations and bring them back?
It is. And, you know, really, it doesn't have to be down and out. It's really, I think I had the natural ability to look at the resources that the hospital had and take those resources and use them and maximize the efficiency, maximize the quality, and to connect that hospital to the local community, which when you do that, the financials just kind of fall in place.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, well, even like here, taking over the radio station, which mm-hmm. I've been around here since November, but actually closed on in March. When you come from the outside looking in, you can see things that people don't see that have been here for
right.
so long. You know,
right.
they see
right.
the same things. And you know, that's just typical of almost any
right.
any business, any position. You know, you just see the same things, but others, they see something different, you know, from the outside.
Absolutely. You know, I've held on to things that I've read and quotes that I've heard. I think it was Stephen F. Covey that said, begin with the end in mind.
Yes.
And so when I think, how do you do that? I went back to Olympic skater probably back in 1994. His name was Brian Boitano.
Mm-hmm.
When Brian Boitano won the gold medal and they interviewed him, he said that he used to sit in the center of the ice and he would close his eyes and imagine doing this routine that no one had ever done before. And when he did it in the Olympics and he won, he was having a hard time discerning, did I imagine doing it or did I really do it? And the interviewer asking, how did you know that you really did it? And he said, the applause wasn't as loud as in my image. Okay. And I thought sometimes that's what we need to do in rural healthcare is we just need to close our eyes and envision what can this hospital be? How can this hospital connect with the community? How can we be what our citizens and our environment needs?
Yeah. Be everything that we need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And know what we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. What brought you to Carrollton, all the way from West Texas, close to West Texas, Oklahoma, you know,
yeah.
a cowboy, and then you end up coming to Carrollton. What happened?
You know, it's a lot of little things that happen. I think the main thing to bring us up this area from Texas is my dad retired, and he was a school teacher, and he was spending lots of time at home. My mom called us. We were in Lubbock, Texas, and my mom called and said, your dad's driving me crazy. And I thought, oh my gosh, mom and dad after 50 years are going to divorce, you know? And Carla, we got to save this marriage, you know? And so I told dad, why don't we buy a farm? Because I knew that would get him out of the house. He likes to build. He loves the outdoors. And so we bought a little ranch in southwestern Missouri in the town of Pineville.
Okay.
And it worked. Dad started building fence
So your mom and dad, you bought this ranch and your mom and dad moved there?
No, though they stayed in town. Oh. They were in Arkansas.
Okay.
In Bentonville, Arkansas. So this ranch is about, probably about 20 miles from mom and dad's house.
Oh, okay.
And, we started running cows on it and then the day came as our kids became independent and we continued to drive to Missouri to the ranch and spend the weekends. We finally just thought, why don't we just live there? And so we did. We bought a house adjacent to it, had a little bit more land, and my wife and I, we moved up here. And I still was working with Community Hospital Corporation.
Okay.
So I, you know, they still had me going in other places to work in hospitals.
And your wife, Carla,
uh-huh.
she still lives there today?
She does right now. Yes.
And you go back and forth?
We are right now, which is hard. We're trying to find that place here that would accommodate us. We're actually looking in Calhoun area around the Hardin area because we need a little bit of timber. That's for me to hunt. Uh-huh. And we need some pasture ground because when we move here, we'll move with 3 horses, 2 miniature donkeys, 2 goats, 2 pigs. The cows will stay in Pineville.
Okay, so you'll keep that ranch going.
Yes, we'll keep that.
Keep that going.
Yeah, it's one of those that's in a family trust, so I couldn't sell it even if I wanted to.
Okay, all right. And then you're looking to find a place here.
We are.
And kind of reestablish and have your own little ranch in Calhoun County.
Yes.
That's for, and you want to go to Calhoun County.
Well, I do. You know, I drove through it the other day, and I found this wonderful place called the McCauley.
Yes, I know.
And there's some horse trails there at McCauley, and I'm actually already, you know, trying to talk to him about can we park our horse trailer there and camp over the weekend while we ride those trails? So, but what kind of brought us to this area is when we started doing trail riding across America, okay. We kept running into people from Illinois. And for now, first, you got to know I called it Illinois.
Yes.
Okay. And I was corrected really quick, dropped the S. But, and people talked about the Shawnee Forest and they talked about the hospitality that the Illinois people had and the trails that were here for horseback riding. And so one day I met a guy that was working with Boyd and our paths had crossed a couple times in Texas. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm thinking about retiring. You know, I just turned 60 and I think I'm just going to retire and cow prices are good. I'm just going to run cows and I'm going to sell cows for the income that I need." And he said, "Well, I'm working with a hospital that needs a CEO in Carrollton, Illinois." And my first thought was Chicago. I thought, yeah, who wants to go to Illinois? I mean, and he said, "No, these are your kind of people. You are absolutely going to love it." And he said, go up and meet with them. And he was so right. We came up and it was raining cats and dogs that weekend we were here. And I met with this board and there was immediate connection. I mean, we drove home and I thought, we can't say no. I'm built to help this hospital and community. So here I am.
Yes. You know what? We've actually ran out of time, but we're going to end this episode. But we haven't got to the meat of what we want to talk about.
I know.
So we'll be back tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. We're going to finish this out on the Spotlight Show. So thanks for coming in, and you'll be back tomorrow, and we'll hear the rest of the story.
All right. It's my pleasure.